I'm talking about community today because we're having a new member ceremony today, so I figured it just worked out really well to be talking about community and this community. And so there's a quote that I really love that is by Starhawk. She says, community. Somewhere there are people to whom we can speak with passion without having the words catch in our throats. Somewhere a circle of hands that will open to receive us. Eyes will light up as we enter. Voices will celebrate with us whenever we come into our own power. Community means strength to join our strength, to do the work that needs to be done. Arms to hold us when we falter. A circle of healing. A circle of friends. Somewhere where we can be free. Welcome to that here. Welcome to Living Beyond Limits. That sounds so much like what we are about. So that is what we are doing here. We are creating this community of people to receive each and every single one of us, to celebrate with us our wins, and to hold us when we are having losses, and to shelter us and care for us when we feel we are in need of that. We are creating a community and a place here to discover who we are in a greater way, to discover that greater self and to give birth to that greater self. We are creating a place to connect with our own divinity here, to connect with our own power and our own wholeness and our own innate goodness, to discover who and what we are, the magnificence of spirit, to discover that inner essence is what we're creating here, a community to support us in doing that. And so every single month, we have a visioning core, and we do visioning, which is a process of meditation, and we sit in that silence, and we ask that wisdom of the universe, what is the highest vision that is seeking to unfold itself as Living Beyond Limits? And every single month in that visioning, we get answers like community and belonging, and we see things like circles and circles of people. We ask, what is Living Beyond Limits? What is its essence or its feeling tone? And we hear words like inclusivity and love, a place where everybody belongs exactly as you are and where you are. It's about self-discovery. And then what happens, because that's the vision that continues to come forward, then that is the thing that guides what we do here. That is the thing that guides how we behave, and it guides the choices we make, and it guides the leadership team in what kind of choices we decide of the things that we're going to do as a community. And so in addition to that, I also have a personal vision that what my ministry is about and what this is about for me. And part of my own vision is that this is a place where love is experienced and applied. That this is a place where we get to discover that we are more than what our families or our society or our schools or the community or the world tells us that we are. A place where we get to discover that. It is a place where we get to discover and connect with and identify with our own divine nature. And it is a place where we get to connect with each other in a safe environment. That's because we create this safe environment for each other. And so one of the greatest needs of us as human beings is to belong. And when we belong, what happens is we get to be seen and known and loved and accepted. That's what we're doing here. And then when we are seen and known and loved and accepted, what happens is we feel safe because we are safe. And when we are safe, then it is safe to try on new behaviors and new ways of being. It's safe to have someone support us in following our dreams and bringing them into reality because those people aren't going to be focused on our shortcomings and tell us why we can't do it. Feeling safe like that creates a safe place for us to grow because we don't have to be perfect. It creates a safe place for us to look at attitudes and behaviors that are no longer serving us in the world and to let those go. All in an atmosphere of love and safety. And so that reminds me of a story that I read this week that I'd love to share with you. And it goes like this. Our middle daughter had been previously adopted by another family before we adopted her at age 8. For one reason or another, whenever our daughter's previous family vacationed at Disney World, they took their biological children with them, but left their adopted daughter with a family friend. Usually, at least in the child's mind, this happened because she did something wrong, and that precluded her presence on this trip. And so by the time we adopted our daughter, she had seen many pictures of Disney World, and she'd heard about the rides and the characters and the parades. But when it came to passing through the gates of the Magic Kingdom, she had always been left on the outside. Once I found out about this history, I made plans to take her to Disney World. I thought I had mastered the drill at Disney World. I knew from previous experiences that the prospect of seeing cast members in freakishly oversized mouse and duck costumes somehow turns children into squirming bundles of emotional instability. What I didn't expect was that the prospect of visiting this dream world would produce a downright stream of devilish behavior in our newest daughter. In the month leading up to our trip to the Magic Kingdom, she stole food when a simple request would have gained her a snack. She lied when it would have been easier for her to tell the truth. She whispered insults that were carefully crafted to hurt her older sister as deeply as possible. And as the days on the calendar moved closer to the trip, her mutinies multiplied. A couple days before our family headed to Florida, I pulled our daughter into my lap to talk through her latest escapade. "I know what you're going to do," she said flatly. "You're not going to take me to Disney World, are you?" The thought hadn't actually crossed my mind, but her downward spiral suddenly started to make sense. She knew she couldn't earn her way into the Magic Kingdom. She had tried and failed that test several times before. She was living in a way that placed her as far as possible from this most magical place on earth. In retrospect, I'm embarrassed to admit that in that moment, I was tempted to turn her fear into my own advantage. The easiest response would have been, "If you don't start behaving right, you're right, we won't take you." But by God's grace, I didn't. Instead, I asked her, "Is this trip something we're doing as a family?" And she nodded, her brown eyes tear-rimmed. "And are you part of this family?" She nodded again. "Then you're going with us. Sure, there may be some consequences to help you remember what's right and wrong, but you're part of our family, and we're not leaving you behind." I'd like to say that her behaviors grew better after that moment. They didn't. Her choices pretty much spiraled out of control at every hotel and every rest stop along the way. Still, we headed to Disney World on the day we had promised, and it was a typical Disney day. Overpriced tickets, overpriced meals, lots of lines, mingled with just enough manufactured magic to consider maybe going again someday. In our hotel room that evening, a very different child emerged. She was exhausted, pensive, and a little weepy at times. But her month-long facade of rebellion had faded. When bedtime rolled around, I prayed with her, held her, and asked, "So how was your first day at Disney World?" She closed her eyes and snuggled into her stuffed unicorn. After a few moments, she opened her eyes ever so slightly. "Daddy," she said, "I finally got to go to Disney World, but it wasn't because I was good. It's because I'm yours." That's what we're creating here, this sense of belonging, this sense of I'm yours, this sense of we belong to each other, that place where it's safe so we get to discover who we are and find out the things that aren't working so well and let them go and try on some new behaviors and new ways of being in the world. And so the title of my talk today is Nurturing the Seeds. And I'm talking about when we belong in community, it creates a safe space for us to grow. It creates a safe space for us to nurture those newly planted seeds and to let them take root and to let them grow, a safe place for us to thrive. And in return from that, we get to experience a fuller sense of self. And in turn from that, we bring a better self to this world. We are more loving with ourselves and therefore with others. We are gentler with ourselves and therefore with others. We are kinder to ourselves and therefore to others. We are more generous and kind and caring in the world. Has anybody experienced that here? Are you kinder and more gentle and more loving and more generous than you were before you were part of this community and before you were walking this spiritual path? And when we expand that sense of belonging to know that we also belong in this world, that we belong in God, that we belong to this one family of humanity, that we belong to each other as a whole, then we create space for everyone to thrive, for everyone to grow, for everyone to discover something greater about themselves. Then they bring their best selves to the world also. Belonging and spiritual nurturance that we receive here is like training wheels for riding the big bike when we go out into the world. And so we come here and we get fed and we get filled up and we grow deep roots in spirit like that. We grow deep roots in spirit. And then we reach out our branches out into the world and reach out into the world. And if you don't know, that's what this picture is about. It's about growing deep roots in spirit and then reaching our branches out into the world. And if you don't know, all the colored spots on that are thumbprints that our members and our musicians and our minister and our practitioner and our growing community have put on there. And so today, as after service, as a part of this new members day, we are going to invite each of you new members to add your unique print to this spiritual community. Because that's this growing spiritual community. And so we grow those deep roots and we spread out our branches and our spirit grows stronger and brighter and more robust. And in turn, we share that self and our own spiritual magnificence and our own love and our own peace and our own goodness with the world. Deepak Chopra says, when we are in touch with our universal self, we empower others. We empower others by allowing them to be themselves. This means we react to people without preconditions and preconceptions. We accept people for who they are and do not force them to conform to our needs and expectations. In doing so, we empower others to express their full potential as well. We find inclusion and acceptance here, and in turn then, we give that to the world, inclusion and acceptance also. In Matthew 25:35, it says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. That's what we all long for in this world, all of us. And so in addition to that need to belong and to belong to each other and to be seen and valued and cared for. We have this need to be connected to each other, and we have a need to be connected to the whole, connected to life, connected to that divine presence, connected to all of humanity. That's a spiritual longing that we have. I think that we come from this oneness and incarnate into these individualized human bodies, but at our core, we are still one, and we long to be back in that experience again. There's a Native American proverb that says, with all things and in all things, we are relatives. We know that at some level. That is like that largest living organism on this plant, on this planet. And if you don't know what that is, it is a quaking aspen tree that is in Colorado. And that one tree covers 106 acres. It appears as many trees above the ground, but underground it is one root system of one tree with 47,000 trunks. That's what we are. We are all like these trunks. We are all these individuations of that divine presence, but still connected and still one at an energetic level, one with each other, part of that one, belonging to each other. And so as spiritual beings, we yearn to experience that again. And so that need to feel connected shows up as our desire to help other people. Whether it's helping people here or helping someone on the street, helping a friend, helping someone you know, or helping someone you don't know, that desire to help open the door for someone or carry someone's groceries, that need to feel connected shows up as a desire to be of service. And if you don't know, we're going to Food Finders tomorrow, and we invite you to come do that. It is so fun and fulfilling to be of service to other people. It shows up as wanting to be kind and caring, wanting the best for everyone. It shows up as treating everyone as equals and as valued. And that reminds me of that idea of Ubuntu. There's a story that speaks to that, and it says, at the Festival of Peace in Florianapolis, South Brazilian, journalist and philosopher Leah Diskin related this story of a tribe in Africa. She explained how an anthropologist had been studying the habits and customs of this tribe, and when he finished his work, he had to wait for transportation that would take him to the airport to return home. He'd also been surrounded by the children of the tribe. So to help pass the time before he left, he proposed a game for the children to play. He bought lots of candies and sweets in the city, so he put everything in a basket with a beautiful ribbon attached. He placed it under a solitary tree, and then he called the kids together. He drew a line on the ground and explained that they should wait behind the line for his signal. And when he said go, they should rush over to the basket, and the first to arrive would win all the candies. When he said go, they all unexpectedly held each other's hands and ran off towards the tree as a group. Once there, they simply shared the candy with each other and happily ate it. The anthropologist was very surprised. He asked them why they had all gone together, especially if the first one to arrive at the tree could have won everything in the basket, all the sweets. A young girl simply replied, "How can one of us be happy if all the others are sad?" The anthropologist was dumbfounded. For months and months, he'd been studying the tribe, yet it was only now that he really understood their true essence. Ubuntu, we're all in this together, and we hold each other's hands, and we pull each other forward. And so our intention here at Living Beyond Limits is to grow deep spiritual roots and to reach out those branches into this world, to discover that infinite presence that lives within us fully at all times, that presence that is love and that is the very ground of our being. We are here growing deep roots, discovering our own spiritual essence, individuations of infinite potential, individuations of divine love, of a boundless love, discovering that wellspring of good that exists within each and every single one of us. And then spreading those branches and bringing that love and that generosity and that kindness into the world. And so my invitation to you is to come here and get nurtured, to come here and get filled up, to come here and allow other people to see your light, which helps you discover the light that is already inside of you, to fan the flame of your own spirit and your own divine nature, and then to see through the eyes of connection, not just here, but connection with everyone and everything, to live your life seeing through the eyes of oneness with everything, knowing that we each and every single one of us are all family, that we belong to each other, and that we belong to life, and we belong to that infinite presence. And as a result, your spirit will be thriving, and we will be creating heaven on earth. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of self-discovery and discovering your own divine nature and making such a beautiful difference in the world. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we take our attention from this material and physical world, and instead we turn our attention to that invisible realm of spirit, recognizing and knowing that spirit is everywhere present in its fullness at all times. That which was before time began, and that which will be unto the ends of the earth, that infinite presence, that is beauty. And that is love, and that is magnificence. That presence that is the oneness that connects everything to everything else, that expresses itself as everything that is. We recognize this one presence that is the very breath of our breathing, and it is the thing that beats our heart and breathes our lungs and moves the food in our bodies to become tissue and bone and muscle. It is that presence that is the all and all, the alpha and the omega, the beginning, the middle, the end, and everything in between and everything before and after. That presence we live and move and have our beingness within. And so today I recognize that that presence is unfolding itself in us and through us as connection. And as a desire to share and care and love and reach out a hand and be that presence on this planet of love and kindness and caring. And so I know that right now also there is a blessing that is pouring out into our life that we couldn't even imagine. For the infinite good of the universe is pouring itself into us and into our lives in this moment. And that good shows up as health and wholeness. It shows up as wisdom and guidance and intuition and knowing. It shows up as perfect opportunities. It shows up as abundance of good of every sort, perfect work and harmonious relationships. All that we seek is the divine simply knocking within, inviting us to open the door. And so today we open that door, and it floods in and it floods out, for it has always been right here. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is taken a hold of and it is unfolding itself now. And for that, I am so grateful. And I release this and I let it be, and I say, and so it is.